You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hoofit. Head. And Hotbox.
Hello, thank you for joining us for episode 21 of The Training Dummies. Recorded November 21st of 2012. That was totally planned, and we're going to be screwed around episode 32, so that's probably where we're going to end the show, episode 31, since we won't be able to ever do that again. We're all here again tonight. I am Taylor. My main is a guardian tank, Hoofit. And also with me tonight is Daryl with his Resto Shaman, Hend, and just recently his Resto Paladin. And also with us tonight is Roadpox, or Hothouse, however you want to put it, the Misty Frost Monk Knight, or Death Weaver, or Bro Monk, or whatever the heck. And also, it took us a couple weeks, but we were finally able to get a guest locked down for this episode, and that is Ro of Realm Maintenance. He is joining us tonight, this evening, or tomorrow morning, whenever you listen to this, for a little bit of roundtable.
Could be this afternoon, for all you know.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. It could be next week,
so,
but it's now.
Yeah, to those out there listening in the afternoon, good afternoon. How was your lunch? How you doing now? Did it go down well? Are you feeling any heartburn? No? Anyway.
They are after this. Oh, man. So, yeah, we got a few emails we're going to try to bust through here, but before we get into that, let's find out what we've all been doing this week. So, what's up, Rob? What you been doing? How's it going?
I have actually kind of broken down my being really, really good and focusing on one tune. That lasted all of a couple of weeks now, so I'm finally back on the alt train. I got a shaman leveled up, a couple of other dudes up to 87, 88, and then I'm working on the warrior right now. So, yeah, I couldn't stay away. There's too much fun stuff out there, and the professions are just calling. They need to be tended to. So, pretty good stuff. I finally got through yesterday. In fact, when the new Terrace of Endless Springs opened up, I went to go in there and realized I never finished the last part of the Heart of Fear. So queued up, finished Heart of Fear, went in, one-shotted everything, tried to get into Terrace, and couldn't even get into a fresh queue. It was like, you know, the two bosses were down already. So finally took that, went in, one-shotted the last two bosses, one shot of the Heart of Fear, and then re-queued and got the first two bosses, and I actually ended up getting two tier pieces out of LFR, so I've got my two-piece bonus now.
Nice.
After weeks of not getting anything at all, finally, yeah. Burned a couple tokens, or burned all my tokens, but yeah, I did get two pieces, and I'm not impressed at all with the Mist Weaver tier bonuses, because it's like a 10% reduction on a skill that I don't even use hardly ever, so yeah, good
maybe
stuff.
Maybe you should be using it.
It's nice to have those upgrades, though. I don't know, man.
I have no idea.
Have to reevaluate.
What is your healing like in LFR compared to the other healers on the meters there? Because I know a lot of people are saying a lot of great things about Mistweavers, and I have one leveled to 65 right now.
Well, I'll tell you how much I like the monks right now. I have my main, who is Roadhouse. I've got another monk on Deathwing that is 87, whose tank heal spec right now, and then another one on another server who is 81 or 82. So I absolutely love it. It's probably my favorite class ever in the game. But in terms of healing in LFR, it depends on if I'm being lazy or not, and it depends on the fight, because there's a lot of, I noticed in this last tier, the Terrace stuff, there's some seriously high movement stuff, and it's serious pain in the butt I guess it's going to be that way for any healing class, but it's, you know, I do have a lot of instant cast stuff, but I was on a couple of fights, like I can push 60-70k heals, not a problem.
Wow.
I feel like I'm still really learning the fine points of it, you know, even though this has been my main and I've been raiding on this and doing pretty well, you know, and we go in our normal mode raid groups and we're all pretty competitive with each other, so we're right on par. It's not like one person is just kicking the other person's butt, you know, we're doing pretty good, but it's really, really fun. There's a lot to manage. It's not, I wouldn't say it's really like any other healing class, you know, there's like so many different ways that you can play it. You know, you can play up the melee side of it, you can kind of play up the caster side of it, but there is a lot to manage.
Yep, I was playing a Resto Shaman during Cataclysm, and I actually didn't start playing Resto Shaman till Dragon Soul first started, and I had a whole lot of fun playing Restoration Shaman, and when Mists of Pandaria came out, I decided I'd have a new end game healer, and I've just slowly and surely been working on the Mistweaver there, so.
It's a good choice. You know, I know everyone's talking about it getting nerfed coming up with the 5.1, but I think they're actually making a lot of changes that are going to be a little bit of stylistic changes too, so it's not just nerf bat stuff, it's going to be rearranging the way you play a little bit too, so.
Cool.
Hand, what are you up to, man? What have you been doing? Besides trying to wipe guild runs.
What are you talking about, me wiping guild runs? That's Taylor. We all know that's Taylor.
Yeah, it's all those druid totems that keep pulling groups and...
Well, exactly. We all know that's what it is. Well, I guess I got a new mic, you could say, of sorts. last week I had computer problems when we were going to discuss postponing last week's show, so I logged into Skype via my iPhone, and the guys told me it was a heck of a lot clearer than my computer and my headset, so that's what I'm using tonight until I do actually get myself a real mic. In game, let's see, Taylor mentioned at the top of the show I had a Resto Pally, we'll actually say Holy Paladin. I got that to 90 finally, so did one run on that. It went okay until the last boss in the brewery, and there I think the problem was me screwing up. It's been a long time since I've healed on a paladin, so we wiped a few times on there, but eventually got it, and the only reason I think we got it is because I stopped screwing up.
I thought it was because Hoofit left.
Well, I'm not.
There's a whole story behind that.
We were all thinking that, but I wasn't going
to
say
no,
that.
No, actually, to be fair, we were all on alts in there, so it was a little bit of a learning curve.
It was some miscommunication. Taylor and I talked about it after.
Oh, man.
So, what else did we... Oh, last week, I guess no one's mentioned this yet, but we got Stoneguard in our raid last week.
We ripped him a new one.
Yeah, and then on the Fang, we consistently got to phase 3, but by that time, there was no healers left with mana, so that ended quick. Other than that, yeah, I guess just, you know, trying to cap Valor on my... my shaman every week, and then you know, just playing around on my paladin when I got a little extra time. That's about all I've been up to. Taylor, how have your last couple of weeks gone?
I have been putting a cap in my valor. Thug like. Anyway, doesn't do me a whole lot of good because I am not rep grinding on my alts, so the extra valor really is kind of worthless on them. But I did finally get my warrior to level cap and started tanking quite a bit on the warrior, and that's been pretty fun. I'm like 10 rep away from hitting exalted with the August Celestials, and I am 2 reps away. I only have Shadowpan and Golden Lotus left to hit exalted with. I just couldn't stand doing those damn ones anymore, so I stopped for a while and just kind of concentrated. Once I got everything to revered, I just kind of did one or two at a time, like one normal rep and then a fun rep, you know, like the fishing or something. And So now I'm almost done with the Celestials. And after that, I'm just going to have Shadow Pan and Golden Lotus left. And I'm about half to three quarters on both of those anyway. And I was really kind of procrastinating on those because I didn't know when 5.1 is going to hit. You never know when these things are going to pop out until it's getting really close. And I know that there's going to be XP gains, bonuses on those. So I'm like, well, they're kind of not my favorite ones to do right now. So maybe 5.1 will be out by the time I got to get there. But if it's not, I'll just keep on doing it anyway. And I won't feel too bad about it because it's just kind of fun stuff at the end. I do want to get my Pandaren Kite. So I will end up getting those to Exalted so that I can get my Kite mount. But that's the last two I need for that. So, and then this is like my third or fourth week at my new job, I've got medical insurance again, yay! And part of signing up for the medical insurance was taking a health survey and a nutrition quiz and get $100 free dollars. And so I did that, and getting myself some upgrades for my PC. And so that's going to be fun. I like doing that. And that is about all I've been up to. Of course, tanking like crazy on Hoof until I Valor Cap, and then have fun with all my alts. So let's go ahead and pass this over to our guest, Ro. What have you been up to?
Bro.
Yeah. Well, when I'm not doing podcasting things and I'm not at work, I'm pretty much in game. I've been working on Klaxi Rep, doing Klaxi dailies. I've got Shadow Pan and the August, November, September Celestials up to Revered. Pretty much I have every faction up to Revered right now except for the Klaxi. It was the last one I decided to work on. Not really sure why it ended up that way. But besides that, also been doing some LFR raiding. For the past several weeks, I applied to a couple of different 10-man raid groups, and I was kind of with them on a probationary basis for a couple weeks. And they're both of the groups I applied to are really trying to push the content, you know, as hard as they can. And by that I mean I've been able to go 4 out of 6 in Mogoshan Vaults, and when we've gotten to Elegon in the groups that I've applied to, it's just such a really harsh, strict DPS check with the gear that we have right now. Mm-hmm. And I more often than not tended to be on the bottom end of that. So, unfortunately, that was the end of my journey with those couple groups I applied to. But I'm not letting that get me down. I'm still trying to do what I can to improve my gear, run LFRs. I've done everything but Terrace of Endless Spring now on Raid Finder. Item levels like 477. And just making progress here and there, also working on achievements, big time achievement hunter. I have been specifically working on hunting down all of the rare elites, the silver dragon mobs, for that glorious achievement, and I'm down to about 6 rares left that I need to find.
Oh, nice.
Dude, yeah, that's good.
And when I'm not doing that, I'm, like I said earlier, working on a Mistweaver, which is just a couple levels away from taking it in the North Run. So that would be the bulk of what I've been doing.
Nice. Well, right on. Let's get on to some listener emails, and then we will get into the nice, juicy stuff that everyone is waiting to hear. So I'll go ahead and take this first one. This is from Crosley. Love you guys in one issue. Hi guys, I found your podcast last week, and after listening to the latest, I downloaded all of the old ones and listened to them all while working at my desk. It's a blast to hear your advice. You all seem to have a lot of fun with it. It's great to share all of your knowledge and experience with those of us out there who aspire to rise in the WoW ranks. I do have one little nitpicky. Yes, I know, nitpicky. Things to bring up. The August Celestials is not pronounced August like the months. It's pronounced more like August, as in something or someone of great stature. Every time I heard August, I thought, maybe they don't know. And it's not about the month, and should I tell them? So I hope you don't mind the correction. You might be saying, get a life, guy. But my job is doing QA on software. Have spent 15 years in the game industry, way too many stories there. So being nitpicky is an occupational hazard, not a matter of having a life. Keep up the great podcast. So glad I found you guys. Crosley.
What if you're from Canada? Would it be August?
It is August, like August Hoses Celestials, eh?
Yes.
So that was from Crosley. Rogue Blood Elf from the Bro Lick Guild. I may have pronounced that wrong, but it's got bro in it, so I'm pretty sure it's bro.
Yeah, so they're sure they kick butt.
I think
so, yes.
Brolic.
No, bro.
I would probably say
bro.
Before tonight, I have never said the word August. So I've always grown up, and whenever I've grown up seeing the word August and just saying August, so I mean, I've said August Celestials probably a million times by now.
Yeah, I know.
In chat, I just type AC now. How do my AC dailies?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna start just calling it Celestials, just so I can avoid the whole thing altogether.
Yep, I don't know. Dude.
I'll say AC as an abbreviation in chat, and when I'm talking about it, I'll just say Celestials. Unless I've been drinking, then I might just not say it at all. Oh, so how about you? Go ahead and take the next one, Rob.
Alrighty, this one says, G'day guys, first let me say you guys have an amazing show and I look forward to hearing from you. A couple of episodes back you had Affinity from Blood Legion and he promoted his live stream. Since that show I have been watching his videos. However, I'm from Australia, so I don't often get to see him stream live. Only get
Wait, stop. Replay videos. Finish the rest of this in Australian accent, just so you can
Dude. I don't know. I haven't had enough to drink to.
You want to talk about mispronunciation?
I'm going to default to Solar Flare's Australian accent.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought I'd try.
Maybe Pig Latin. I don't know.
That'll take forever.
He's only been watching his replay videos. Now I never watched any live streams of WoW before, but his videos are really appealing to me. So I was just wondering if there are some other live streams out there. Thanks in advance, Throne Resto Druid from Calistras.
Jeez, this is the episode of mispronunciation. Calistras?
The easy answer for this, honestly, just the easy and quick answer, is you can go to twitch.tv and you can actually just do a search for Warcraft or WoW or World of Warcraft videos, and at any given time there are tons and tons and tons of people streaming. There's a huge community out there for people that stream. A lot of guys use Ustream, Twitch, Justin TV. There's several different sites out there that host it. Once you kind of find you're in the community, I don't have a whole lot that I can recommend to you because I'm so busy usually that I don't watch a lot of live streams. I try and watch Affinities. I try to watch Preach. There's a few folks on Twitter, some of the GKick folks and whatnot, that, you know, anytime they go live, they'll actually, it automatically sends out a Twitter or an email saying, hey, such and such has gone live. You know, I know Convert to Raid does their stuff streaming live now too, so. Really, once you kind of find an in the community and find some people that you like, you can subscribe to their channels, and then from there you can kind of see who else is subscribed, maybe find some other channels from there, and then, you know, you'll get that update anytime somebody goes live. I know Affinity right now is in the middle of progression. We really lucked out with our timing with him to get him on the show, but they're right in the middle right now. Last I heard, there was about 3 or 4 guilds that were 3 of 4 in Terrace right now, so they are pushing for world first. And he doesn't stream live when they're in the middle of progression. So as soon as that's done, and this tier of rating is over, he streams full time, pretty much. You know, from the time he gets up to the time he goes to bed, it's pretty much his job. So, I know there's a lot of people out there that do that too. Do you guys have any insider advice or anything on the streaming community? Ro, why don't you hit that? I don't know if you do.
As far as streams go, I will sometimes watch Criparian. He's in a guild called Midwinter, which is pretty high up there on progression. I think they were, I'm not sure where they are US ranking wise now, but they were top 10 US for a good part of this tier. I wouldn't be surprised if they still are. They're right now, I'm just taking a glance at the channel right now, and it's saying Midwinter's 12 out of 16 heroics. So, they haven't downed any Terrace heroic bosses yet, but they're pretty high up there. That's the one stream that you didn't mention that I've looked at. I've also seen some of the other streams that you mentioned.
No, I don't have any.
What do you know? Yeah, we don't. I don't think. You know, us being a little bit older and having families and stuff, I think when we do get free time, we tend to play more than we watch other people play.
Yeah, that's pretty much bang on right there.
Now, if I'm by myself and it's a time where there's no one else around and I'm just playing, you know, I will pull up a stream or a podcast and.
Man, I'm so glad you went that direction monitor. And not where I thought you were going with that.
Yeah, you know, you know, when I'm by myself. I'm not always by myself, but when
there's
I am...
There's a different kind of streaming Rob watches when he's by himself.
Indeed.
Wow, whole nother level.
90% of the time when I'm using Twitch to watch something, it's rarely World of Warcraft. More often than not, I'm watching StarCraft 2 matches because I'm just that guy.
A little more of the esports kind of stuff.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I love watching competitive esports stuff, but when it comes to like myself being competitive in StarCraft 2, I'm miserable.
I found it funny the other day. One of the people I follow, you know, I got the little alert, and it was like, you know, such and such going live, and I was like, all right. So I clicked on it, and it was like, I'm organizing my bank right now. How are you guys doing? I'm like, I gotta go.
Oh yeah, I know a couple of channels like that.
You're like, what, dude? You're great and everything, but I'm not here to watch you organize your bank. Thanks.
And that channel will have like 30 viewers just
watching. I know,
watching.
Man. Yeah. Good Jeez, stuff.
That would only be like a 30-second cast if they had bank stack and they could do the vault, their bank, and their bags all at once.
Pimping those mods.
We love the add-ons here.
Mouse over macros.
All right, we
Speaking
got
of, hand.
Yeah, we got one more email here, and it's from a Freethawk, a warrior on the Deathwing server in the Guild Hoarder Lease. Oh my goodness!
What?
He that actually asked familiar. A question. Yeah, it does. He actually asked a question in our Hoarder Lease chat, and I told him to send an email to the show so we'd have some content, and he did.
Because we're snobby. We're like, man, we ain't going to answer your question. You got to email the show.
Pretty much. I did end up giving him the answer after I got the email in chat anyway. So he says, I'd like to be able to control my pet is attacking as a hunter lock with the use of a mouse over. The pet assist feature is too slow for PvP since it doesn't kick in until I attack the target, and even then it takes a moment. I'd assume it would be a simple slash mouse over pet attack or slash cast pet attack. Also, any other target swapping macros would be really appreciated. Question 2, you heard someone talking about a macro that swaps your focus with your current target and makes what previously was your focus your new target. I've tried to make this but keep failing. Just wondering, this is actually something that could be done. Slash train, woo woo!
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I have answered him with both. For the pet attack, it's like cast. It's the you need to do the action first and then the target. So the action is slash cast or it's slash pet attack. Then you put in your mouse over condition and then you can put in another target condition just so that it will cover both those bases. As for his second question about the swapping focus with your target. I did find a macro. It's pretty in-depth. I'm not going to list it out here. We will have it in the show notes, but I gave him the macro yesterday, and he was able to test it and said it works exactly as he wanted it to. So, yeah, we'll get this macro in the show notes for if you want to swap your focus with your target and vice versa.
And what was previously your focus is your new target.
Exactly. It swaps it. It's awesome.
Magical.
Macros for the win.
And they definitely are for the win. Yeah, there's yeah, this is the long list. We're not going to talk about this one, but we have it here in our notes. So we'll put it on the show notes for sure. And if you're interested in something like this, we'll put both macros on there so you can check it out. The pet attack thing specifically, this is a mouse over pet attack macro. So basically what he's asking for is he's going to have a hotkey in PvP where he can be attacking one person and then hit a hotkey while mousing over the healer and send his pet to attack the healer without changing his target and without doing anything else. And if he needs to switch target, he can just mouse over something else and have it do that too. That's what he's talking about with the pet attack. So it's pretty handy. Personally, for PvE, I actually bind that exact command into my primary nuke. And I also add a condition that, you know, if it's not dead, then it, or if it is, if it's not dead, it stays on that target. So even if I switch targets, it stays on my initial one. And then if it is dead, it switches to my new target. But yeah, this is for PvP, and he needs the ability to switch it at any given moment. So that's that. Well, anyway, so, you know, usually we ask a question on Twitter, just to get some topics out there, but a topic came to us. We didn't ask it on Twitter. This time you, the listeners, asked us. Several people, in fact, asked us to discuss Warlocks. So let's move on to some Warlock Q&A. We've got several questions here and requests for Warlock information. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty with our bro, Ro. I think
awesome.
So my first question I want to ask, and this is possibly the most important warlock specific question ever, is Ro,
the answer is the sadness.
Do you all right, so it's, do you use macros, Ro? since we just got done talking about macros, do you use macros, do you like them?
I use a couple. Here's the thing about me, and I'm going to make a confession I've made a few times before, and I'm getting more comfortable when making this confession nowadays. For all of Burning Crusade, all of Wrath of the Lich King, and 95% of Cataclysm, I was a clicker.
Oh my god!
Right?
Who invited this guy?
I know. Well, scary, isn't it?
I had to mute for a second there because I just coughed up a rib.
I should be kicked off right now. However, since Mists of Pandaria started, and you know, you guys have you guys mentioned Preach before, and I saw I heard Preach on Convert to Raid. I went to his site. And I've wanted to transition over into key binding, and I would not say that I have entirely switched over to key binding, but I am now at a point where my primary five or six spells that I cast when I'm playing destruction, I now have on key binds, and it's gotten to the point where I'm now comfortable with pressing the buttons. It comes pretty naturally. When the first 24-48 hours that I was trying to learn keybinds, I was getting very frustrated with it. I just, the muscle memory wasn't there. I didn't think I was ever going to be able to switch over, but I just forced myself to, you know, keep going at it, and eventually I saw patterns of what was comfortable. I switched a couple spells around and saw, okay, I'm casting this spell more often. Let's switch this over closer to the two, put this one over on the E. And I'm now kind of a hybrid keybinder and clicker. I haven't made I haven't made the full transition yet. It's going to be one of those things where it's just kind of a work in progress, really. As I get more comfortable with it, I'll be able to add a couple more things for the spells that are not used a whole lot, but are still probably used at least a couple times during a fight.
Dude, there are always going to be
on my main cooldowns. Yeah,
there's always going to be spells you click on. That, I mean, there's you don't there's just some things that are just not worth putting on a keybind, but they're nice to have.
Anybody?
You know, yeah.
No, that needs to be on.
I don't have making my mage tables on keybinds or, you know, anything like that. So, yeah, not everything
like
needs to be.
Some of my, like, my 3-minute and 5-minute cooldowns, I click those.
Mm-hmm. As far as the macros question goes, I have all of, I mean, while I have keybinds, I only have probably 2 or 3 actual real macros, and one of them I actually just put together earlier today because I got this on-use trinket called the Blossom of Pure Snow, and it's basically a critical strike buff trinket on-use that has a 1-minute cooldown.
Oh, yeah.
So for Destruction Warlocks, a key part of the Destruction Warlock rotation is casting Chaos Bolts as you have Burning Embers. So as often as you're casting Chaos Bolt, I made up a macro so that whenever I cast a Chaos Bolt, if my Blossom is on cooldown, it's going to activate it. Since Chaos Bolt's damage is strongly affected by your critical strike rating, it just made sense to put the two together.
Right, yeah. I'm macroing my trinkets with... It's actually... What is it? Slot 15, 16? I can't remember what...
13, 14.
Is it? Yeah. Okay, so I macro those in pretty much to whatever. Like on my, when I'm in my DPS spec of my monk, I just macro those into jab, so pretty much they're always on cooldown. Although I'm not going to remember, and I don't have room on my action bars to put those and keep clicking them, you know. So it's just easier to know that they're going to be used a lot more frequently that way.
Oh, right, yeah. And just a little disclaimer to everyone listening, I mean, as far as my, and this is going to kind of go into the next question, looking at the invisible show notes that don't exist, but as far as my background on, as far as warlocks go, I would not by any stretch call myself a cutting edge or bleeding edge warlock. I've always called myself hard casual. I like challenging. I like doing more than just the casual stuff of dungeons and raid finder. I want to push myself to do challenging content. Do I ever think I will put myself in the position where I'm going to be doing stuff at the time that, say, Blood Legion or Paragon or raids like that do? No, because I don't have the time in my life to make that kind of commitment.
Right, yeah.
And it takes a lot of commitment to put out what they put out. I mean, being on PTRs, doing progression basically on PTRs, people wonder how do they get these things down, you know, in just a couple days or a week. Well, the bosses that they test on PTR give them so much advance warning and preparation. Don't mind the train in the background.
We like slash trains in this show.
That's perfect.
It's like you just knew in your heart that we would love your train macro in the background.
You got an IRL train macro.
That's awesome.
But at any rate, I'm a hard casual warlock. I like trying to do as much of the content as possible, but I'm not trying to get it all done right away. As far as what I like as a warlock, I like blowing things up. Destruction has always been my favorite spec to play. Unfortunately, in Cataclysm, really in Lich King 2 to a degree. In Lich King it wasn't as bad, but in Cataclysm, and it's showing some in Mists of Pandaria, destruction has been, for the most part, the weaker of the specs. It kind of fluctuates sometimes. Like, there was a period in Lich King where destruction was up there, and destruction was good in Cataclysm, I think, at the very beginning of the expansion. I hate Affliction, which is weird, because people think, well, Warlocks are all about dots, more dots, more dots, more dots. And when I tried Affliction, you know, early on, I hated having to manage all the dots. And now, mind you, part of my dislike or hatred for Affliction would probably have to come to with the fact that back then, when I was trying to learn Affliction, I didn't really have much as far as add-ons or user interface goes. I didn't have timer bars or stuff to help show me when dots were going to fall on or off. Since then, that's changed. I use an add-on. Are you familiar with Tell Me When?
Yeah.
Okay. I use Tell Me When, basically. There are better add-ons there, but Tell Me When's just the one that I'm most comfortable with. It's easy for me to configure. So I've used Tell Me When to give me indications of when certain procs are going off, when dots are about to fall off, and that's just what works for me. All the same, I hate managing watching all those timers and dots. With destruction, it's not as much about dot watching anymore as it is about watching your procs. You want to be chaos bolting when you have the best proc bonuses available, and sometimes that doesn't happen. But I'm kind of dancing all over the place as far as far as everything you'd want to cover here, but I'm just trying to give you a slice of what I'm like as a Warlock.
And don't fret about you know, how you're classifying yourself in terms of your play style. I mean, you're coming on the show, you're opening up, people are asking questions, and you're volunteering to speak out for Warlocks, and I think that's great. I mean, on this show, we are always trying to help people be better players, and by being better, we don't mean, wherever you're at, trying to step it up just a little more. And not everybody's on the same level. So I really thank you for coming on and just putting in your two cents on it.
No problem. And just to show that I am like any Warlock out there, so you guys realize I'm legit, I do want my green fire, and I want it now.
Look at it this way. You're 4-6, and we're only 1-6 right now in Morgashan Vault. So.
Well, and that's the funny thing. I got 4 out of 6 applying to these guilds, but right now I'm at a point where, well, I'm back in the minor leagues doing raid finder stuff until I find a group. So I can say I've had experience in Morgashan Vaults up to Elegon, but that's about it. And
that's a wall for a lot of people right now.
It really is, because it's not only, it's a really strict DPS check, because if you guys are familiar with the Raid Finder Elegon, you have those charged spheres that come during the transition phases. Mm-hmm. Okay, in Raid Finder, if you can get a wave or two of those things down, hey, that's a bonus. Great, good job. It makes the fight a little bit faster. In normal mode, you have to take down those waves of adds, and you have to do that 4 times on each transition to stand a chance of downing Elegon. So if you don't have high burst, you're in trouble.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as our only one boss down, our guild has always been very slow to ramp up. Our average aid is, every year it gets a little bit higher. So, I mean, our average age.
I'm as old as the dinosaurs.
Is, we're getting close to 40 as our average guild age. And
I fit right in.
a lot of our members have, 1 to 3 kids, and Hen's got an entire, like, kindergarten at his house. Right. So, yeah, I mean, time we move a little slower. Not because we don't want to move fast. I mean, I don't have kids, so I've got that luxury, and also being unemployed gave me a great advantage. And now I'm sitting at, you know, I'm sitting at 482, and we still have people that aren't even 460 yet. Trying to, you know, we're trying to go in, and we're, you know, killing that first boss finally last week. That
Shoot,
felt
man,
great.
Our hunter, what was it, a week or two ago, was playing with a newborn on his lap, so he was pretty much playing with one hand and a baby in the other.
Yeah.
And get out of the poo, dude.
And this week it's really hard when it comes to Stone Guard, because this week you're dealing with the hardest makeup of the dogs. And the best thing I can really suggest for that makeup is don't worry about the DPS race. Worry about not being in stuff. Have good communication as far as chains go, and just be careful on when you're popping crystal traps, when cobalt is petrifying. If you just take things nice and slow and easy, and you're doing what you can to keep as much space clear as possible, those guys will go down eventually. Yeah. I can say that to the DPS and the healers out there. When it comes to tanks, I feel bad for you guys. I really do. That's a rough first encounter for tanks. It really is.
Well, you heard it here first on episode 21 of the Training Dummies. Makeup tips with Ro. All right, let's move on to our first tweet. Rob, let's get onto this and let's move on. Let's get to our first questions.
This is one of the guys that that kind of brought on a lot of the Warlock talk for today. Legrison from Twitter says, "Warlock DPS, I am having the worst time getting it where it should be." So that kind of brought us to this discussion here about Warlocks. So we're going to talk about DPS. Go down a little bit of these questions here. Raid Finder 5-man solo. Let's start off with the three specs. I know we talked about those a little bit here. What are the different three specs, and what, you know, I know you didn't care for one of them, but what's kind of the primary differences and what you would see coming in
sure.
and choosing a spec?
Sure. Well, I'll start with Affliction, because right now, as far as, you know, theory crafters, number crunching, sim crafts go, Affliction is shown as the highest on the chart in the logs and such, and there's a couple reasons for that. Affliction is primarily about damage overtime spells, maintaining those damage overtime spells, and casting other spells to enhance the damage that you're doing. One of the pluses about Affliction that makes it so handy in some fights more than others is the fact that you can multi-dot. You can put these damage overtime spells on multiple targets at once, so you have this ongoing damage just rolling across all these targets, and that tends to just yield a higher damage output than when you are a single target caster just aiming at one thing. That's Affliction in a nutshell. Destruction is more like a mage than any of the other specs in as far as Warlocks go. Casting fire spells, getting nukes up. An interesting thing about Destruction, and it's something I heard on Convert to Raid an episode or two ago from Solar Flare. He had compared the current Destruction spec as being very similar to a survival hunter. So if any of you out there play a hunter and you have played survival, apparently Destruction in terms of the rhythm and the abilities that are used is a very similar feel to it. Destruction has a lot of burst capability to it. Primarily this one spell called Chaos Bolt. And what Chaos Bolt does is it's a huge damage spell with that always crits, and the damage of it scales up based on what your crit chance is. So one thing that's interesting about Destruction is your single target nukes most of the time, your damage output may feel a little low, but as you're casting those spells, you are building up these Burning Ember resources. that allows you to cast Chaos Bolts. And you can throw a Chaos Bolt at something and you'll easily see six-digit damage a lot of the time.
Nice.
I had to giggle earlier today, and yes, I do giggle. No, I'm not giggling on the show. But I was pleased to see in Raid Finder on one of the bosses, you know, tossing three Chaos Bolts in a row that did over 700k damage.
What?
Nice. I'm not kidding.
Oh, hey, that's awesome.
I think that deserves a girly giggle.
For great... There's potential for some really great burst DPS there. Disadvantages with destruction, though, is the Ember building is a little bit slow. It's not exactly where it should be right now, and devs realize that, and they're taking some steps to fix that in 5.1. Also, destruction does not have as much capability for spreading dots like Affliction does, because all you have is your main dot, which is Immolate. The AoE spell Rain of Fire is nice. They've changed Rain of Fire, if you haven't played a Warlock in a while, to where Rain of Fire is not a channeled spell anymore. It's very similar to, I would say, I guess, a Shaman's Earthquake, in that you use the reticule to target a space, and then you can keep on going. So you can just run down a corridor and just click Rain of Fire here, 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 and you'll just cover the space with raining fire.
Oh, that's cool.
And destruction doesn't have life tap anymore. Destruction actually has enhanced mana regeneration, so you almost never have to worry about running out of mana. The only time you seem to run out of mana is when you have three or four burning embers stored up. For some reason, you just seem to go through your mana faster when you have embers stored up. I think that's a mechanism put in there to encourage you to spend your embers when they're near max. But yeah, destruction... I'm in love with it. I wish it was doing better. I think it will get better in 5.1. Very bursty spec. And lastly, demonology. Obviously, focusing more on the damage that you do with your demons. Primarily, your Felguard or your Wrathguard, if you're using the Grimoire talent for the alternate versions, the enhanced versions of the demons. And demonology is very different when it comes to Mists of Pandaria, as far as like just how the whole thing plays, because now demonology is more about building up demonic fury. It's hard to really compare it to something, because it has the fury building similar to like a warrior or whatever. And then you're changing stance, I guess, for lack of a better term, between your metamorphosis form, your demon form, and then just normal form. And primarily, you're building up your fury. Once you get your fury up pretty high, then you want to switch into your metamorphosis form, put on your high damage spells and your doom dot, and then switch back into human form to build up fury again, and you just kind of go back and forth. There's an ebb and flow to it. I haven't played demonology as much as I would have liked, just because I'm still trying to become better with destruction, but I tend to have demonology as a secondary spec, and eventually I'll play with it more. So yeah, that's just a brief overview from my side of what the three specs are like.
We've got in our raid, we've got two warlocks, and one is demonology affliction, trying to do affliction, and the other one's destruction. And I know affliction's supposed to be better, but our affliction lock is not doing too good with affliction. And our destruction warlock, who's, you know, destruction's not supposed to be that great, and he has been topping the meters.
Oh, he kills it with destruction
every time.
Yeah. Here's
and he pretty much says that it's simple for him to, you know, for him it's a great rhythm, and it's he's obviously very familiar with it, and you know, there's not a, he said there's just not the complexity to it that if you worry about missing something that anything goes wrong. It's very solid, and if you can really master it and squeeze it out, you're just gonna really do pretty good with it. And he proves it, at least, that he's killing it.
Destruction is of the three specs, I'll say right now that I think destruction is the easiest to learn, followed by affliction and demonology being the most complicated to learn. Though I would say then when it comes to mastery, affliction's probably easier in mastery compared to demonology and destruction, with destruction probably being the second, and demonology probably still being the toughest to master. With destruction, since I've played it a lot, the best advice I can give, if you're, and I'm still trying to learn and improve myself with this, is since Chaos Bolts are so important to your DPS, you want to make sure that you're Chaos Bolting at the right time. You'll have a number of different procs available to you, whether it's from a weapon enchant, or if you're a tailor, say your light weave proc, or trinkets and whatnot. You want to be able to be aware of when those procs are going on. You want to have a user interface add-on to clearly show you when those procs are going on and how much time is left on them. Because you want your Chaos Bolt to take the most advantage of that as possible, because that can make the difference between a Chaos Bolt that does, say, 250,000 and a Chaos Bolt that does 450,000.
What about the 700K?
The 700K, those happen too, but those also happen when you're taking advantage of raid encounters where you're getting a damage buff for some reason. I don't think you can naturally get a 700K buff without a little help from part of the mechanics of the raid. Like with Garajal, you can get some with the Garajal, the Spirit Binder with the Spirit Realm and all that stuff. Since if you go into the Spirit Realm and you get healed, you get this mastery crit and haste buff. That can lead to some really insane fun numbers once you pop out of there and start throwing Chaos Bolts at Garajal.
Okay. So I'm not going to be coughing up ribs every boss fight when some warlock crits for 7K and I'm just
not on crying. Everyone. Right now, from what I've seen, about I'd say about one third to one half of the fights have ways and methods of getting really beefy numbers out there. But on average, I mean, I like on Fang the Accursed, I can do, if my procs time right on Fang the Accursed, I've seen Chaos Bolts do 500K.
That's great.
That's awesome. Really cool.
The obvious answer is yes, but does Warlock in general, in any of the specs, but you destruction, is it really gear dependent? Like, for example, like a warrior this tier is just really gear dependent. You know, you start to see warriors as it goes on, you know, warriors kind of really pick it up and really kick butt towards the end. Do you find warlocks to be that way too, or
unfortunately, I'm not sure if I'm really qualified to say yes or no, because I haven't done a whole lot of examination of that. I would have to say that just if you look at World of Logs and you're looking at some of these raid encounters, and you look at the spread of what warlock DPS is on some of these heroic encounters with people with, you know, item level that's like about 10 or 12 points higher, and they're doing about 20,000 more DPS, I would have to say more than likely it is. I'm not sure where the shift is going to be. Like in Cataclysm, for example, at least from my personal experience, my DPS didn't really shift a whole lot in between the first tier of raiding in Firelands. Once I had Firelands gear, I mean, yes, I was doing more DPS, but it didn't seem like I was doing an insane amount more of DPS.
Right.
I found a much larger jump once we did the Firelands to Dragon Soul transition. I don't think it jumps, at least currently in Mists of Pandaria, I don't think the DPS jump happens all that soon. But again, my experience is very limited.
All right. Well, Ro, just to move on with the discussion of Warlock DPS, whenever we did the tanking episode, we kind of broke it up into sections, you know, from beginning to intermediate to advanced tanking. So I'm going to try to direct this and ask you to help this guy. I don't know. This guy could be leveling for all we know, or he might be in raiding. I'm just not sure yet because he didn't really specify. But let's go ahead and start with just some basic points for soloing. I mean, this is pretty simple. Everybody ends up having to do this at some point, and usually sure. DPS are the most common. So just go over some real quick solo points, and then we can move on to some five-man and raiding general practices that might help warlocks all over with their DPS.
Sure. With soloing, and it's really neat as far as being a solo warlock nowadays, especially if you're leveling and stuff. One thing I would have to say about demonology is I feel demonology is the most friendly for soloing stuff. If you're leveling or you're just doing, you know, casual solo content, I would say you can't go wrong with demonology. And regardless of what spec you choose, I would have a Voidwalker out, simply because the Voidwalker is a heck of a damage sponge. You let it tank the stuff while you fire from a distance. Let your Voidwalker take all the beating. If the Voidwalker is getting low, health funnel it. Another thing about solo is if you're soloing, if you're as far as like doing dailies, doing scenarios, stuff like that, solo content as a warlock, I would suggest picking talents that help augment your survivability. It's if you're going to do solo content, you want talents that are going to help your survivability. Things like dark regeneration, things like dark bargain, stuff like that. That's just in case of emergency. You have so many survival cooldowns that you're practically going to feel like a tank. I still wish that demonology, that glyph that allows you to be a pseudo tank, the glyph of demon hunting, I wish they had kept it to be as strong as it was when it was in beta. Because tanking as demonology back in the beta when the glyph first came out, that was a blast. Having basically all the threat, the mitigation that a tank could do, and yet being a cloth user, it was quite fun. I really wouldn't be surprised if down the line we see a fourth warlock spec that can actually tank like that. But yeah, solo, yeah. Use Voidwalkers, use talents that help your survivability.
All right. Well, let's move on to some five-man stuff. But before you put that in there, I want to tell all you warlocks out there, turn off your taunt.
Please. Hunters, too. And hunters. Turn off your growl, turn off your taunt. And you're not doing anyone a favor.
I've got another tip for you. If you're a warlock going into a five man, and again, this is a part where I would almost say demonology, and it's funny that I'm talking about demonology again since I really haven't played it as much, but from what I experienced in demonology, I don't find demonology to be that friendly to five man content, just because with all of the fury generation and switching between one form and another, when you're taking care of trash on the way to bosses and stuff, you can't get into the rhythm that demonology warlocks are trying to get into when stuff is dying, you know, every 10 seconds. I would suggest if you're going to do five-man content, doing affliction or destruction. Affliction, once again, great for multi-dotting. Destruction, great for your nukes and stuff. And it's also fun when you're destruction to build up your embers, have a few chaos bolts saved up, and then you're taking out some trash. You throw two chaos bolts at something, and people are wondering, how the heck do you have 90k DPS on that trash?
nice.
But yeah, and another thing just regarding the whole, you know, turn the taunt off your pet. Another thing you could do, just take the Grimoire of Sacrifice talent, which you sacrifice your demon in order to get a 20% increased damage buff and improved health regeneration. Not only is that going to make staying alive easier and less of a strain on your healer, but you're not going to have to worry about your demon getting in the way, aggroing something accidentally, taunting something that it shouldn't be. So for five-man content, I would say use a Grimoire of Sacrifice. If you've been leveling with your Voidwalker out and you get pulled into a five-man dungeon, first thing you should do, hit your Grimoire of Sacrifice, get that damage buff up, and just take it solo with the four people beside you. You don't need your pet for the five-man, I think.
That's some good advice.
Right on. I know there's nothing more frustrating than when I'm people don't understand taunt mechanics and when a pet taunts off of a tank and then somebody gets a crit, the tank's sitting there at like 20% threat and he could have been at 300-400% threat just prior. Just, oh, I hate those damn taunts unless they're mine.
Yeah, I've been called out on it a couple of times myself. Get that damn Voidwalker out of here. And yeah, I'll be like, oh yeah, I forgot to hit the sacrifice. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Well, I'm not going to mention any times that I might have done it ever. I've never done it. Heck no. I don't.
Right.
Yes, I'm guilty too.
Thousands of wipes.
I know. Jeez. So that's some basic five-man stuff, and how would you say the dynamic changes when switching from five-man to raiding?
Switching the five-man to raiding is, it's really a whole other kettle of fish, because raiding now, you don't have as much trash to deal with, and you're not really worrying about the kind of rotation and spellcasting that you would for trash. You're thinking more about the boss encounters themselves, and this is where having knowledge of the preferred rotation comes to be more key. And obviously going to sites like Icy Veins, Noxic to get the basics of what the rotation should be, that's a good place to start. One of the biggest challenges for me as far as raiding goes has been movement. And for Warlocks and Cataclysm, if you had to move during a raid encounter, you have the Fell Flame spell. And as Destruction, you still have Fell Flame if you need to move. And Fell Flame is a good way to keep your Immolate damage over time spell on targets. Still, I find that when I'm moving, it tends to kind of break my rhythm mentally as far as the rotation that I'm casting, because now I'm thinking about two or three different things, like, okay, am I in the right place where I should be? Meanwhile, my hand on my keybinds is going, hey, rotation, come on now. So my eyes are one place, my brain's another, and my hands in another place, and it just all gets kind of weird. So I would say for raiding, one of the biggest challenges is getting accustomed to the fact that in raiding there's a lot more movement involved than in the dungeon encounters. Even though the heroics are trying to encourage a bit more movement, like say I'd say the brewery is a good example of a five-man where they're really trying to have boss encounters with movement. There's a whole lot more of movement in raid encounters. Using Fell Flame is definitely a plus. It's a spell that you're going to use often in raid encounters, even if you didn't use it in five-mans. If you're still having trouble with casting on the fly while moving and you want to you want to still be casting all the time, you could consider taking the Kill Jaden's Cunning talent. That allows you to cast while moving. And that may seem like, oh, hey, that's a great thing. I can cast while moving. Now I don't have to worry about all that stuff. The problem with that is that when you use Kill Jaden's Cunning off of cooldown, there's a cooldown that lets you cast for like several seconds with no movement penalty. But if you cast while moving with Kill Jaden's Cunning, you are slowing your movement speed down. And that can be a little bit tricky in encounters where you need to get from point A to point B very quickly. Also, another thing to consider is if you take the Kill Jaden's Cunning talent to cast while moving, you are losing the ability to stop cast by moving. And that sometimes can be more important than you might think. If you have targeted the wrong target accidentally and you're throwing your Chaos Bolt at it, and you realize, oh shoot, I meant to Chaos Bolt this instead, jumping or moving isn't going to stop that thing from being cast. In that case, you're going to actually need to ideally have a stop cast macro set up, and you can go that way too. But there's pluses and minuses to using Kill Jaden's Cunning. It is, in general, a DPS loss. For raiding, most people tend to suggest using, I believe, Archimonde's Vengeance, which does damage to stuff that deals damage to you. That's actually a DPS increase, and that tends to be what most warlocks in raiding take. There's different situations where using the other talents will be better, but Archimonde's tends to be the way to go.
All right. I wanted to comment real quick.
Sure.
I forgot to mention it earlier. When you were talking about you were getting used to using your keybinds and transitioning into that, mm-hmm. I want to encourage anybody out there, if you are a clicker and you don't understand keybinds, really, I mean, it's just putting a spell on the number bars and then using the numbers instead of clicking it with the mouse. But eventually, whichever class you play, whatever your, you know, rotation or rhythm, for that matter, is priority system, eventually it's like when you first were learning to type and you're sitting there two-fingering it, it's difficult and it's hard to get all the letters and do it properly, and then eventually you start using all of your fingers and you're starting to type words and you're starting to type them faster, and then eventually you're doing it without even looking at the keys and you're just seeing what you type. So give it a try and give it a chance. It's developing muscle memory isn't something that happens immediately. Unless it's something that you already do on a frequent basis, you know, if that's what you do, you're always changing stuff because you're always trying to look for a more optimal place to put things and you just know where things are at, that's fine. But if you're not used to it, you need to give it a chance, and it will pay off in the end. It'll actually pay off very nice.
And it's going to be really frustrating at the start more often than not. Trust me, the first couple of days, you're going to wonder, why the heck am I even trying this? I'm doing a lot less DPS than I was by clicking. Yep, it's going to be that way in the beginning, and it took encouragement from others to, you know, just keep with it and keep doing it and keep doing it, and eventually you get back to the DPS that you were doing the same as if you were clicking. And then from there, you have progression. From there, it's gravy. Now you have the ability to just become faster, to become more natural at casting your spells, at doing your rotation, and you will see your performance, your DPS go up. I'm getting there. I'm not quite there yet, but I do see an improvement from what I was doing at the beginning of Myst.
It's so worth it. Yeah.
Well, it's like when we were first discussing mouse over macros and for healing, you know, and I'm like, you've got to try this. This is, I'm sorry.
No.
If we're doing the Canadian story, Daryl's telling me to do it because I'm the healer and he's teaching me.
Exactly right.
So, it was goofy at first. It felt really weird. It felt awkward because he was used to, you know, pressing the F keys to target people and once you get over that learning curve, and you get out of the I'm doing worse, and you start doing and you catch up to where you were, and then once you get to that point, it's like an upward arc that just goes, wow, man, now I'm just really getting better. And it just, I mean, whether it's keybinds or whether you're introducing macros or combining keybinds with macros or introducing a gaming mouse, all this kind of thing, all these things can really, really help. And it's refreshing to hear someone that's just learning the keybind, because it's fresh in your mind, and you know, I mean, you're right, it's right in your brain, you know, doing the clicking thing, and you're doing the keybinds mm-hmm. now, and you're like, you are, I mean, you feel it, you see the improvement already, and you know that there's way more room for improvement, and it's great that you were able to keep with it and not revert back to old or less efficient habits. That's yep. really cool. I like hearing that. That's really cool.
Oh, thanks.
All right. So yeah, we're running a little bit over. This is going to be a little bit longer show than usual because we still got a few things to go over here. So let's get on to some of these other.
More chatty than I thought. Sorry.
It's good stuff though. Yeah. I mean, it's great stuff.
I wouldn't put the blame on you. Don't worry.
No way. You guys out there are going to be critting 700K in no time.
Right. So yeah, we've got some tweets and some Facebook stuff here that is probably going to reflect a little bit on what we've discussed already, but we'll just go ahead and emphasize on it. We don't have to get in depth because we've probably already talked about it. But Tom asks, Hend, I'm leveling up a lock as Demo, having a lot of fun. I'm not fully understanding the playstyle. Is it right to say that overall, I want to use up demonic power as often as possible? So, Hend, what do you think about that?
Yeah, Hend.
Well, you know, I thought about this long and hard. I took a lot of time to think about this. At first, I was thinking, well, yeah, maybe you do want to do that. Nah, maybe you don't. No, maybe you weren't. You know what? It depends. It depends on what Ro is going to say right now. That's what it depends on. Ro?
So, what I'm going to tell you is, for the most part...
Is to go destruction?
Well, besides going destruction, if you're going to go demonology, a couple of key things to consider. The first thing is you want to keep corruption and doom up as often as possible. Corruption you can only cast when you're out of metamorphosis form. Doom you can only cast when you're in metamorphosis form. This train loves you guys tonight. I'm just saying.
It's awesome.
It's a sign. Man.
It is awesome.
You're listening.
So that's the first thing.
No.
As far as demonic power goes, there's actually a little bit of a parallel with destruction here with demonology. So with your demonic fury, what's suggested is that you want to build your demonic fury to around somewhere between 900 and 1000, which is basically 90% to 100%. At that point, you want to then hop into metamorphosis, refresh your doom on the target, and then from that point you want to just keep on casting Touch of Chaos, because that's going to refresh your corruption.
Real quick, let me interject. He did specify he's leveling up a lock. I don't know if all these abilities are leveling up abilities, or you're talking level cap abilities.
Well, the stuff I mentioned is stuff while leveling, stuff you have access to while leveling. I guess one thing I should say when it comes to leveling is the whole demonic fury thing isn't as big a deal as you may think it is. You're usually not going to have a whole lot of opportunity to build up and burn demonic fury back and forth. I would just say, for the most part, let your Felguard or your Wrathguard go wild. Go into when you're leveling, feel free to go into metamorphosis whenever you're, you know, if you have more than halfway on demonic fury, feel free to hop into metamorphosis and burn stuff down. It's not as important. I would say that as you're getting into the 80s and getting close to hitting level 90, you're going to want to get more into the habit of letting your meter get high up into round 800, 900, yeah, up near the top, then switching into Metamorphosis, putting on the Doom Dot and whatnot, and then hopping out of Metamorphosis. One thing you'll find once you hit 90 is that part of the thing about Demonic Fury is you want to keep it going up and down, up and down. That sounds vulgar. just keeping it on the threshold of being somewhere around 800, 900 so that when you hit those opportunities during a raid encounter where you're getting those procs or you need to burn something down really quick, you hit your Metamorphosis and then just exhaust all your Demonic Fury when you need to. So it's all about timing. It's going to be a lot about timing. For leveling, though, don't worry about it too much.
All right. Rob.
Why don't I take this next one, then?
Yeah, okay. Take it.
Hey, I still have some residual coughing from this this little sickness that I've been fighting off, so I was deciding not to share that with you guys. So.
Yeah, that's nice. I think you left a lung on your desk last week.
Oh, yeah, good stuff.
You left a lung in my ear.
That, too.
Well, Early Riser 25 says, I haven't touched my lock in 2 years. What do you love most about the class? Make me level one.
I think I mentioned it earlier. 700k crits.
That's all you had to say right there.
So there's big crits? Is that what you're saying? You like Warlocks because of the big crits?
I love the big crits.
I'm a huge fan of big crits.
I think everyone loves
big crits. I'm actually a fan of big crits, the show, too. But, yeah. I like playing Destruction Warlock for the big bursts of damage. It's great seeing insanely high numbers. At the same time, one thing I like about Warlocks now in Mesa Pandaria, and one reason why I love the talent system, is Warlocks have so many tools to stay alive. It is absurd. There's so many survival cooldowns now that you can use to stay alive. If things are looking bad in a raid, you don't have to worry about the healer keeping you up all the time. If you look like you're getting low, hit one of your cooldowns, and your healer will probably thank you for it later that you did. Survivability, high bursty damage, at least as far as destruction goes. If you like just topping the meters on DPS, if everyone has their definition of fun. For me, I like seeing big numbers. For others, they like being at the top of the meters, and I don't blame them for that either. If that's your kind of thing, then I strongly recommend Affliction. If you can learn and master Affliction, you're going to be the envy of many people in your raid.
All right. We have a question here from Lil Durf. He says, what would the recommended leveling spec and rotation be?
Recommended specs, Affliction. And as far as rotation, I'll explain it very simply here. For pretty much any of the Warlock specs, it's all about priority. Rotation's kind of a bad word. It's more about priorities, what you want to make sure to keep up most of all. So for Affliction, you want to make sure that Agony is kept up on your target. After Agony would be Corruption. After Corruption's Unstable Affliction. Once you have all three of those dots up, you want to cast Haunt whenever you have a Soul Shard up and Haunt's debuff isn't on the target. Once you have all of that, you're going to cast your filler spell, which is Malefic Grasp. Once the target's below 20% health, instead of using Malefic Grasp, you're going to want to use Drain Soul instead. That's the basics to it. That's great as far as single targets go. where Affliction is really going to shine is going to be in multi-dotting, managing your multi-dotting, and using Soul Burn and Soul Swap to move your dots around to all those targets. If you're dealing with two or three enemies, that's where you're going to focus on using Soul Swap to move your dots around. When you're dealing with four or more enemies and you're dealing with AoE, you're going to want to start with Soul Burn and Seed of Corruption, and then also keeping as many dots up as you can as possible. That's the basics to it. It's not that hard to learn. It's more about reaction time with Affliction. It's more about reaction time, being able to keep an eye on your timers and being able to respond quickly. And I guess the last thing I can say about that is you want to have a user interface that's really friendly for you to be able to see that information, but also keep your eyes on what's going on ahead of you at the same time. So having your UI set up optimally is going to play a big part in Affliction 2.
Good stuff. Let's see here. Rebecca from Facebook asks, what is the best spec for AoE heavy fights like Spirit Binder? I took Manoroth's Fury and went demo for the ads inside, and I could reach every ad with Hellfire. But is that really the best way to do it as a Warlock, or should I have gone Affliction?
But you don't mention Destruction. I'm disappointed.
So, right. You think Affliction is not the answer. It is Destruction.
Well, I'm biased, obviously. But
I mean, do you want 700k crits or not?
As far as Manoroth's Fury, you know, that's one thing that I had. That's a talent I hadn't really thought about for the Garajal fight. I would say, honestly, for Spirit Binder, especially if you're going to find yourself going into the Spirit Realm often, Rebecca, multi-dotting is really your friend there, even more so than doing Hellfire on Demonology or Rain of Fire on Destruction. If you specifically want the best spec for Spirit Binder, I think Affliction is going to be the number one to go, because you also have to remember that by putting all those dots on all those targets, you're going to have to hop out of the Spirit Realm at some point once you're all healed up. You can hop out of the Spirit Realm, have that big damage buff that's put onto you from your healers, and meanwhile, while you're beginning to lay in some massive deeps on Garajal, your dots in the Spirit Realm are still ticking away at the last bits of life of the spirits that are in there. So I really can't dispute that Affliction's the way to go for Spirit Binder, at least from other Warlocks that I've talked to. Many of them tend to go Affliction. That said, I personally go Destruction, but that's me. Again, I play more for what's fun for me, not what's always necessarily the best. If you want the best, I would probably say Affliction.
All right. Jean-Pierre asks, which demon do you like the most? Not for their skills per se, but either for looks or voiceovers. And this is from Pengo on Vec Nalash, because he thought that might be easier to pronounce than Jean-Pierre.
Well, I thought that was the most important question for Warlocks. That's why I answered it at the very beginning.
Nice.
I would personally, when I started playing a Warlock back in Burning Crusade and I was in Karazhan, I was using the Succubus the whole time, and I don't think I switched from a Succubus to another demon until probably halfway into Wrath of the Lich King. Succubus was
that
my
must
girl.
Be very yeah. difficult playing zoomed in all the time. Wait, never mind. I don't know.
Well, I gotta agree with no. Yeah, I gotta agree with Ro on this one, especially after I've seen some Succubus cosplay. It's definitely the best. Definitely the best one.
Oh,
and here's the thing. I don't usually remember the names of all the demons I have in my repertoire. I have not, since Cat. I have not used a succubus really, except for PvP every now and then in Cataclysm. I haven't used a succubus much at all anymore, but I still remember my succubus's name is Betwin. I couldn't tell you the name. I couldn't tell you the name of my other demons, but nice. I played a succubus long enough for months and months and months. I still remember my succubus's names. Her name was Betwin, or as I'd call her, Betty for short, which was kind of funny because then you can make the whole Betty Page comparison there.
Oh gosh, nice. That's awesome.
I've got a confession. My first warlock was Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in vanilla because it was a human warlock, and because I was trying to figure out Stormwind as Horde. And so I decided, well, I'll do human warlock. I'll, you know, be at Stormwind and all this stuff. I've had three warlock characters, and they've pretty much all been deleted. Mm-hmm. Only one of them ever got to level cap. Not Mist's level cap, but level cap of whatever expansion that was. Burning Crusade, I think it was. I think it was Burning Crusade. Or it might have been Wrath. I can't remember. But my very first warlock and my very first pet, it was just such a weird name. Let's see if you can guess. Well, never mind. You'll guess what type of demon it was, because you only get one type at the beginning. Its name was Gakpad. And
that was your imp's name?
Yeah, Gakpad. Like, what the hell?
And the funny thing is, playing Destruction now, I mean, back in Cataclysm, you used an imp for Destruction. Now for Destruction, you tend to use the Grimoire of Sacrifice talent, so you don't have a pet out most of the time. But I think my imp's name from the beginning has been Kupuri, I think. But yeah, Gakpad's kind of an odd one. That sounds kind of vulgar, actually.
Yeah, that's an original.
Gakpad sounds
too, buddy.
Gakpad sounds like something that you use to clean up some sort of mess, and I don't really want to know what mess that is.
I like on an airplane.
Right?
It's right next to the 2000 flushes.
The Gakpad.
Get the Gakpad
on the airplanes if you're going to lose your food.
Who needs a bag? You've got this highly absorbent Gakpad.
Do you use that for cleaning up a 1,000 wipes?
Oh my!
After thousands and thousands of wipes.
Oh man, we are really stretching this bad name.
We'll throw in a free Bethtalag.
All right. Okay, we got one last question here from Twitter. It's from a fellow warlock, Amy Jade. And he says, OMG, when does Ro make time to sleep? That's actually good question.
I gotta interject here, because he actually says he has one hind. I didn't know if that was his warlock.
I have one hind.
He's got one hind.
We have one too.
Yes, you do. There's plenty of hind to go around. Don't you worry. Don't you worry.
That's why we have to share the hind love.
Exactly. So, Ro, when do you sleep?
Usually Wednesday night. Here's the funny thing about my schedule as far as Warcraft, podcasting, real life, and all that goes. I've mentioned this on a couple other podcasts before. Have you ever seen the movie Clerks?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I'm basically a slightly improved version of Dante. I'm a convenience store manager. Go figure.
Awesome.
The pay isn't great, but I love interacting with people, and I've done it for years, and who knows if I'll move much higher up in the world, but whatever, I'm happy. At any rate, right now I live in an area in Ohio where it's very seasonal. This time of year, people aren't coming up to this area to go to the lake and stuff. So right now, I only work 3.5 days a week, but those 3 days are 12-hour shifts, so I'm still doing a 40-hour week.
Oh, right.
The funny thing about that is those 3 days are Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday right now. And that can be interesting when you have a show called Realm Maintenance, which comes out on Tuesdays, and then you're recording a podcast called All Things Azeroth, which records Monday night. So from Sunday through Tuesday, my life is basically either work or podcasting, and that's it. I actually don't get a whole lot of game time in World of Warcraft on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. There's no minutes left in the day for it. Most of my playtime tends to come from Wednesday evening through Saturday evening. And then as far as sleep goes, I will probably sleep about 4 or 5 hours a day in the earlier part of the week. And then on my days off, I'm sleeping more like 7 or 8. So I do sleep. I just sleep a lot less than other people for a few days.
Man. So, okay, a convenience store manager.
Mm-hmm.
With Hostess going bankrupt, what are you going to start the place with? Okay. I'm sorry. I had to go there.
Whatever, man. Little Debbie's, man. There's all kinds of...
Well, no, here's the thing. So in my store, we actually had both Hostess and Little Debbie. And the Little Debbie guy actually came in the other day, and I asked him, so, how's it going? How's business? And he's like, I'm going to run out of stock tomorrow. he's so not used to this with basically everyone's running out of Hostess, so now people are asking for more Little Debbie stuff, and he said, I have to order from the warehouse 3 or 4 times what I've been ordering the past few weeks. So yeah, as far as Little Debbie goes, they're about to see a whole lot of money.
That's crazy.
That's nuts. Well, that about does up. Covers up all our Facebook and Twitter questions. Thanks everybody who wrote in and tweeted and brought
those
some
fun
to the show. Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and move on to some of this. Canadian lag.
All right. I guess that means it's time for Hand Love. So we'll send some to our guildies on Deathwing server, the Hoarderlies. And as well, I want to send some to Sizzle Pie on the Area 52 server. He noticed or recognized one of our guildies in Heroic because he has heard the podcast and recognized her guild name. So yeah, I just want to give him a shout out. And that was very cool. Thanks for saying something.
Yeah, I don't want to forget our friends over at Hearthcast. They've got a pretty fun and different perspective on the game. They're also our guildies, and they helped us get started with Training Dummies. So, big thank you to them. Also, big thank you to all of our listeners, Twitter and Facebook followers, and especially everybody that writes in and comments and participates.
I just want to echo that, too. Had some really great interaction on Twitter with Lita and Locked On Warcraft and Mimenth and WoW Mardian. And a special shout out to Abby, who's been helping me get some of my tunes leveled up. You guys are awesome. And you kind of, that interaction is outside of the show is what makes this really fun, really cool, and kind of keep it going. I appreciate that. Ro, did you have any special shout outs?
Yeah, a couple. A shout out to Jan from Something Suggestive, practically my best friend as far as real life and WoW goes. She's a great person, has a great podcast. Check her show out. Shout out to my guild, Alay Iacta Est. You probably heard of him. Also, a shout out to Jeppy from Control Alt WoW, who's also now the man in charge of WoWcast. WoWcast was one of the very first WoW podcasts out there, and basically version 2.0 is now out and about. Alacha handed the reins over to Jeppy, and Jeppy's heading WoWcast into a new future. So really looking forward to see what he does with the show there. So shout out to him too.
All right. Well, we got some 5-star reviews this week. This was pretty awesome. this first review Hen was supposed to read, but I think he wanted me to read it, and I think I know why. Cool cast, says Brett Witzel. Nice guys that have a plethora of WoW know-how, especially Hoofit. He's awesome.
No. You read what the page says, mister. You read what it says.
Look, if they really want to know, they could read it on iTunes and then leave their own comment. Fine. Especially the Canadian fellow.
There we go.
And this one, I believe, stemmed from a couple episodes ago called Strafing While Jogging. Wow,
I think that was
strafing,
mine.
Strafing comment made me laugh out loud while in line at a certain coffee place. Really love your podcast, and I listen to a lot of podcasts while I'm cleaning pools, and yes, while jogging. Don't strafe into a pool there, man. I don't think that...
Well, I think that's the whole point. He's strafing. He's going to see the pool.
Oh, there you go, yeah. Your podcast is different and really makes me smile every day. The only one complaint I have is that I wish there was more Pally Tank. I think we could probably do something like that.
There's lots of Pally Tanks.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're all over.
Oh, I got to level mine now. Thanks. Great, dude. Sorry for any odd words or misspells. I'm writing this while on the treadmill.
Now,
holy
can you
crap.
Strafe while on the treadmill? That's
yeah,
the
you can. I've done it, and it sucks.
You could totally. You got to watch out, because if your foot catches on the side of the treadmill that's not moving with the tread, you know, that could spell trouble, because half your foot's moving, and then you step on the part that's not, and that could be dangerous. So I don't know. I'd recommend not strafing on the treadmill. I mean, you can just have your significant
advice.
Other just move the back end around so you could look, you know. Get her to work, too.
All right,
oh, wait, that was... Did you say who that was from? That was from Paul.
Paul.
Nice.
Paul. Thanks, Paul.
All right. We have one from Canada this week as well. Details Are Good by Mick Stokes. I like that this podcast gets into some of the interesting details that will help you up your game in WoW. Every episode I learn something new and get some insight that I haven't heard from any other WoW podcast. Keep on rocking, guys. Dalwin from the Bloodbath and Bacon, U.S.
Yeah.
There's always room for bacon.
He wins. Yep.
Always, oh my god.
Always.
I think he meant keep on locking, guys. Never mind.
Yeah.
He hasn't heard this episode yet.
I think it's MC Stokes.
MC
Ooh,
Stokes.
That's a good one. MC Stokes.
Blood
We're going with that.
And bacon represented.
Where's my record scratching sound?
Well, I know, Ro, you have a whole heck of a lot of stuff going on. Your plate is so full. I think you've got like 5 plates going on. Why don't you just give everybody a quick rundown of what you're doing, where they can reach you, how they can get a hold of you, pimp your shows out. Just kind of for the closing here. What's the best way everybody needs to know about you?
And see, I'm the one who's usually asking that question of other podcasters. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird being on the other side of the table. So, for those who don't know, I have a page called Realm Maintenance. You can find that at realm-maintenance.com. It's also the home for the Realm Maintenance podcast, and Realm Maintenance is a podcast about other WoW podcasts. So if you want to know what's happening on shows like The Training Dummies, Hearthcast, All Things Azeroth, The Instance, and a ton of other shows that you've probably never heard of, check out the Realm Maintenance show. It comes out every Tuesday, the same day that Realm Maintenance happens. You see what I did there?
Oh.
So yeah, it's a great podcast. It's real short too. Most shows tend to be under half an hour. Every once in a while, I'll throw a curveball and have a special longer show. Like next week's show will be a bit longer than most, and there's a good reason for that.
Do you have any emergency short shows called like Realm Restarts? Like five minute shows.
No, the first segment. The first segment of Realm Maintenance is called The Rolling Restart, so that's where I throw that.
Oh, there you go.
It's basically the get the show rolling and restarting the week, so that's where I came up with the Rolling Restart term for that. I have thought about making like a mini episode or like an emergency show whenever they had like maintenance pop up out of nowhere, then I can just post that up and okay, here's a show. But that might take a little extra work. So I've been doing that since September or August or September. I don't know. It's been a blur, but I'm up to about 13 or 14 episodes. It's gotten a lot of great response and feedback from the community. Also, as of a few weeks ago, I'm now one of the co-hosts on All Things Azeroth. You can find that show at allthingsazeroth.com. And I'm on there with Medros and Nanania, and we basically talk about the week in WoW, stories that are important to just the community that plays World of Warcraft and the lore that's surrounding the game. And it's a lot of fun. I'm having a great time there. It's really different doing a solo show compared to a group show. It's really two different kind of gears, and I'm still trying to get the feel for that, but I'm having fun doing both.
A lot of things are different solo and in a group.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, a lot of things are different.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
As far as like getting a hold of me, you can find me on Twitter at Rowow, which is spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. You can also find the Realm Maintenance Twitter at Realm Podcast and the All Things Azeroth Twitter at All Things As, which is All Things AZ. And that's not for All Things Arizona.
Oh, okay. I'm like, who are these guys? I don't care about the Diamondbacks. What's going on here?
What about the Cardinals?
I'll take the Cardinals.
Okay.
It could be a podcast about the time zone twice a year, how it doesn't change,
and how everyone else is off. Messes everyone's life up.
Okay, well, I think that does it for episode 21 of the Training Dummies.
21!
I know. We're legal now.
Does that mean you guys are legal now? It's all good?
It does. It does. Yep.
Well, congrats on becoming legal finally. It's about time.
Well, now we have an issue because if we have any guests from shows that are only on like episode 17, we could have some legal implications. So we've kind of crossed that border now. We've got to stay in the.
This train is derailing.
Yeah. I swore that show was over.
Have you noticed you haven't heard the train in the past like 15 minutes? I don't know.
I know. It makes me sad.
I don't know.
I like the train. That was cool.
Yep.
Okay, let me close out the show here. No more interruptions. Be sure to check out our website, thetrainingdummies.com. If you'd like to contact any of us or the show, our information is there. We also encourage you to leave comments on the episodes. You can also like us at facebook.com/thetrainingdummies. Follow me on Twitter at hand_porterlies. Or the show at Training Dummies, and to subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you have a question, please don't hesitate to email or record an MP3, which no one has done yet, by the way, and send it to the show at thetrainingdummies.com.
Be the first!
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!
The WoW Podcast subreddit keeps up-to-date links on all the major World of Warcraft podcasts. It's your one-stop shop to find out all the latest and greatest WoW podcasts. Get caught up with your favorite shows and discover shows you didn't even know existed. If it's about WoW, it's on the WoW Podcast subreddit. Find out what all the excitement is about by visiting reddit.com/r/WoW Podcasts.